Hello and welcome back to another episode of Care to Share with me, Valentina, and the lovely Ali Fallon.
Yeah, so it's really exciting to be able to do another instalment of our podcast. But I will preface this by saying our medical disclaimer, which is that we are in no way medical practitioners or health professionals. And please do not listen to anything we say with 100% certainty, because we are probably reading off a website. Because we, again...
A good website.
A good website, of course.
We read off, like, you know, cancer research or something like that. So what we're saying is probably accurate.
But yeah, if in doubt, check it out.
If in doubt, check it out. 100%, yeah.
Not with us.
Not with us, no. Like, and again, like as we always say, if you've got like any questions about certain things, like I think the best thing to do is speak to your practitioner, and that's what we encourage everyone to do all the time. We've been doing it since day one.
Exactly.
If in doubt,
check it out.
Yeah, amazing.
Care to share with your GP.
Care to share. Yes. So, layout of the show today. Again, we're going to start with the cancer of the week, which is.
Sarcoma. Again, like melanoma, sounds like a mysterious girl.
Yeah.
Who's sarcoma?
Who titled these cancers?
I don't know, probably named after some guy who discovered it or something, I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, sarcoma.
Imagine mine. Have you... Oh, she's got Valentina.
Yeah, she's got Case Valisara.
She's got... That sounds lovely.
It was a mysterious
cancer name.
I would
love a Case Valisara.
Yeah.
Case Valisara and Valentina.
Yeah, but yeah, so we'll start off with sarcoma. No, sorry, I was about to make a comment about the context of this episode, but I feel like I'll save it for once we've...
We'll do the cancer of the week first, and then we'll set up our lovely episode today, which is... Okay, we'll tell you
later. No, tell it after.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Anyway, so sarcoma, signs and symptoms. So we'll start off with a lump that could be felt through the skin that may or may not be painful.
Or you've got bone pain.
A broken bone that happens unexpectedly, such as with minor injury or no injury at all.
Abdominal pain.
And weight loss.
So, yep, those are the symptoms. If you've got any of those that you're worried about, and again, the thing is with those symptoms, like all the other cancer symptoms, they actually are those type of ones that like you could actually just mistake just for like a broken bone that happens unexpectedly. Like it's with, I know to be fair, the thing is with that, why it's distinctive is that it's with a minor injury or no injury at all. Like if you literally just broke a bone for no reason, that is when it's things are like, why have you done that? But bone, I think to be fair, but weight loss though, I always think weight loss is a funny one, isn't it? Because it's like unexplained weight loss. But, and that's what wasn't one of my symptoms was, but you would never think like, oh, like I've lost loads of weight, I don't know why, or maybe it's cancer. Like,
yeah,
I was like, oh, maybe I've just not been eating that much this week.
Exactly. And also, I feel like with women's health, especially when you fluctuate your weight when you have your period and so on, and just like hormonal cycles. So I feel like the weight loss one is one that could easily be pinned to other reasons as well. So just if in doubt, check it out.
Yeah, and as always, we'll follow up the signs and symptoms with some more information on our Instagram, CareToShare1350. But now we will discuss our layout of the show.
So not only is Valentina called Valentina, it's going to be our Valentine's Day special, which is about love life.
Love. I wish this is the only thing with the podcast. We don't have music. So if I actually had music now, like the radio show, I'd put like love is in the air.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
Or love is not in the air.
If it was up to me, I'd have some cringy sound effects. Yeah. Where I'd be like,
really wish we could have sound effects. It makes me sad.
Honestly, but that would just add a whole dimension to this podcast.
I think it would just take over, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I'd get too trigger happy as well.
I'd just be
playing sounds all the time.
So, yeah, today's theme is all about Valentine's Day, which we know is obviously not this week. It's next week, isn't it?
Yes.
But we are not doing a podcast.
My mother is getting married, so I'm not here.
What? How fitting?
How fitting. Love is in the air.
When is she getting married? What
day? Friday next week.
What day?
18th.
Oh my
God. I've got to go home, you know. And so yeah, no podcast.
Oh my God, it's so cute though.
It is very cute, very exciting.
Congratulations. What's her name?
Samantha.
Congratulations, Samantha.
And Simon.
And Simon?
Yes, Simon.
Oh my
Simon.
God, amazing. But yeah, so, God, really, love is really in the air right now.
Love is in the air.
And so yeah, we're doing the whole theme about love, and then we took it obviously from that, relationships and cancer, because obviously we have to bring it back to cancer as it's a cancer podcast. And we thought it would be really interesting. This is an interesting dynamic in itself, because I think being young, like, relationships are hard enough.
Yeah, and in Valentina's case,
not
don't exist. I'm sorry, being mean.
No, listen, I can take it. It's fine. The thing is, there's such stigma, isn't there? Like, oh, single life. But, you know, anyway, we'll get into that later. Sorry, right. Okay. So the plan, obviously, we're actually really lucky for this podcast because we actually got to interview
Lydia.
And she's basically, she had a boyfriend who was diagnosed with testicular cancer. And we were really lucky enough, like I said, to interview her. And we got really, like, great. I can't even explain how good it was because I actually got seriously emotional.
Yeah, Valentina cried.
It was actually, I don't even want to make it about that, but it was so, I think that is just like testament to how
no, it was
important,
very sweet,
like,
and
what
it
she was saying.
I say it's probably like all our interviews are very honest and raw, but I feel like that one.
Oh, no,
there, just
I think
like,
it just hit, I don't even know what it was, to be honest, Ali. I was literally thinking about it afterwards when I was actually mortified. The thing is, we're obviously the presenters and we're actually supposed to be professional, and I was like,
No, you gotta be raw.
But she was just the way she was talking was just really like was kind of enlightening and really nice, and
it's quite inspiring as
I think so, and like you said, all of them have been, but it was just, I think it was just the way she was talking was just really it was just made me emotional.
At first I was going to make a joke that Valentina was just upset that she doesn't have a boyfriend. That's again, the whole podcast is me just trying to rip into you.
Listen, Ali's hungover today, so she's taking all the anger and pain out of me.
Exactly.
And it's fine. I could take it.
Sorry. I'll stop.
So we've got that amazing interview that we're definitely going to put on, but that's going to be in the second section. The first section, we're actually going to talk about my experience with cancer.
Exactly. I'm going to kind of interview Valentina.
As I was a singleton. So we've kind of got the best of both worlds here.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you some questions.
Yeah, so Ali's going to grill me. I'll probably start crying again at this point.
First thing I want to ask is...
Are we going straight into it?
I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm ready to just make you feel cry again for being single.
Oh, Ali, don't ask you. Okay, go.
Okay. So when you were diagnosed or first found your symptoms and like went to go get them checked out, what was your romantic status at that point?
Single.
Okay.
So I was actually, I was in a relationship that year in the January 2020 year.
And January, you were when were you diagnosed?
Diagnosed September 2020.
Okay, yeah. So, know, like
It was my first proper like relationship that I've ever had, that I ever like loved anyone. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a breakup with him at uni.
It's going to turn into a therapy session.
It is. Do you know what? What's the thing? Buckle your seatbelts, whatever that saying is. because it's turning into therapy today, and I need it. Do you know what? I might need it. Ali's going to be my therapist.
Exactly.
So broke up with him in Jan, wasn't even over that. And then I got diagnosed in September and I still wasn't really over it, to be honest with you. So, you know what? What's really weird is that my first thought when I actually was diagnosed and I didn't want to speak to anyone, and I wanted to text him and say, like, this is happening, like, I really need you. But, I can't tell you, I was, like, speaking to my mum and my mum was saying, like, oh, what can make you feel better? And I said that, and then I was just like, she said, do it then, Tina. I said, I physically can't.
When did you tell him?
I didn't tell him. So,
ever?
No, so obviously I wasn't with him. So the first thing I did, well, the first reason I didn't is because I thought it's not really fair to bring him in on something so heavy when he's not really, like, when we broke up for different reasons. So I thought that could get confusing and it's, like I said, unfair on him.
Yeah.
The second reason, and I'm so proud of it to this day, and it might be really, really stupid and not the time to have done it, but I thought to myself, if I actually have to do this and have to text someone to, like, have someone there, then I just feel like I'll need that my whole life.
So you need to be strong on your own.
Yeah, and that was the second thought I had, and it was genuine. I thought, if I do this, then I'll always need someone, like I said, to text and to have and to, you know, need in my life. And I just thought, I've got to do this. Because I wasn't on my own. I had my family, obviously. But I needed to know that I could do, like, I wasn't, not whole, it's the wrong word. I think the best word is, like, I didn't need it, basically. Yeah.
So going from that, did you, when you, you know, you've been diagnosed, you're going through treatment, did you ever feel like you were lonely? Or did you ever go, oh, damn, I wish I had a boyfriend?
Yeah, because I think, especially when I saw that other people did have them, that was the thing is, obviously with COVID, no one was in there, so you couldn't really tell. But when people were speaking, like there was a girl in there who had a boyfriend, and she was saying like, "Oh, what to get him for Christmas?" And I was thinking, you know what? And then he did. It was actually really lovely. He actually did like a charity thing for her, and they all shaved their heads.
Aww.
And you know, it's those type of things. It's nice to like. It's obviously it's kind of hard. It reminds you that you actually are single.
Mm.
And that you've not got, I think with the boyfriend, they're like your main confidant in a way, aren't
yeah.
they? Like, I feel like I tell so much to like my boyfriend in ways that I wouldn't even necessarily speak to other people. So, yeah, I think that was something I definitely lacked it. But then at the same time, I almost wasn't even, it was almost a good thing in a way, I feel like, because I wasn't concerned about anyone else but myself in that moment.
Mm. Yeah. So there were any times where you wanted to date, or like you just kind of...
Oh, no, negative. And the thing is, I don't know if it's also because my cancer was actually quite brief. Mm. Like, it was like a 3-month turnaround. And I don't know, like I said, if other people who have had cancer for a long time, or some people have it for years and years, like that's probably different for them. But for me, I was just like, no, there wasn't... I think I was speaking to people, to be fair.
Yeah.
Because no one knew I had cancer.
Lockdown pastime.
Yeah, I mean, like, no one knew I was ill, though. So yeah. It's almost like I could live in, like, this still that old reality that I was actually fine. I was still speaking to people, but I was just not, like, interested at all. Like, it was just not a priority for me. I couldn't think of anything worse.
So I know last season we mentioned... You talked about hair loss and stuff. So obviously you weren't feeling your most confident.
No, I was insecure.
Yeah, do you feel like that was probably one of the reasons why you didn't really want to go out and physically date people? Plus on top of you didn't want to catch COVID during treatment.
Yeah.
Lots of factors, but...
Well, exactly. Lots of factors. COVID, like you said, massive one, because... I actually don't even think of that, but I didn't want to meet anyone because I was scared.
Yeah.
So actually,
because I know my
one.
Aunt, we had to be quite careful about who touched her.
Yeah, well, like Lydia's, well, everyone will find out later in the
don't
thing.
Don't spill the beans, yeah.
Everyone spill the beans. But, you know, she did, this is, to be fair, it's just facts, isn't it? Like, when you're ill, this was pre-COVID, she still had to be careful about who was in contact with him, because you are vulnerable. So when you've got COVID on top of that as well, you're actually almost, it's almost even more heightened how, like, much you just don't want to be near people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what was the question?
You weren't feeling, basically I was saying, like, you don't feel, basically I was trying to say, do you feel because you were more insecure that you didn't want to date, basically?
I think, yeah, so aside from other factors, I think insecurity was a big one.
Mm.
And I think that actually manifested more when I'd finished treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you another one. When after treatment, did you start thinking, okay, I could get back out on the playing field?
So this is the thing. So it actually, it overlapped, because obviously it's not a quick turnaround, which I actually thought it was in a weird way. I never thought of cancer as all the after effects.
No, I used to think it was as well.
But you actually don't have hair. Or checkups and like I was massively overweight. I was actually overweight big time. I'd gained loads of weight from being ill and eating a lot. So I really didn't feel my best at all. I was incredibly insecure to the point I didn't even want to go out. Like, the only places I went for a walk with a hat on, because I just thought, ugh, like,
yeah,
I just didn't like it. And to be fair, like, your whole identity just changes. So to be honest, I don't know if that was quite weak of me, because I think other girls, to be fair, are like incredibly strong and they really embrace it. But for me, I was just like, I've always really cared about like how I look and stuff like that. So when I was actually like,
yeah,
it all
no
changed.
Point in faking it if you're
yeah,
not.
Yeah, so I was just like, you know what, I always made effort. I always like put makeup on and got dressed up and stuff like that.
Mm.
But it didn't really like do anything to me too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, so afterwards, and I don't even think, so after that, like, yeah, so straight away afterwards, I was recovering and stuff, and it took quite a while for me to get back to normal, but I was pushing myself, because I was trying to get back out and date again, because that's where, like, I enjoy those type of environments. It's fun, isn't it? So I was really pushing myself to get back to how I was, and I got obviously hair extensions and all that, lost the weight. So it was about July, I think, that I started dating again. But do you know what? I was still insecure.
Yeah.
And I think maybe I am even to this day a bit more insecure.
I feel like everyone's insecure, though.
Yeah, but more insecure than I was before, yeah. And I think that is because, again, I think the last part of it is the fact that even though my hair looks obviously fine and everything, like, it's not mine. So, and I know girls have extensions everywhere, like, but I think it's because...
No, but you wouldn't have got extensions.
Yeah, I think it's the reason.
Yeah, it's the reason, not the actual thing itself. So,
I think, so, like I said, even to now, like, that just seems crazy because it's been so long. But, yeah, I think even now I'm probably still a bit insecure. I was really insecure, actually, when I think about dating again, like, when I was dating for the first time in July, because I was just like, ugh, like, God.
Well, it was after the interview with Lydia, I went and chatted to my boyfriend, and I was saying to him, I was like, if I was diagnosed with cancer...
Oh, I bet he was really impressed.
I was like, what, like, you know, what would you do? And he said to me that he would stick with me, and I said, oh, I'd do the same. And he said to me, well, no, I would break up with you if I had cancer and it was like terminal, because he didn't want to put you through
it.
It was a very philosophical question. We were like, we were debating for a bit, and I was like, I wouldn't let you. I was like, I'd just come up, show up at the hospital or your house. And then, and then he's like, oh, I wouldn't tell you that's the reason when I break up with you. And I was like, oh, no, I'll be messaging your mother and be like,
you know, it reminds me. Where is it? What's it? That reminds me of, you know, Theory of Everything?
Yeah.
It reminds me of that when he's like, don't be near me and stuff like that. And because he doesn't want to put her through the pain, and that just makes me actually want to cry again. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it, Alia. You can't cry twice in this podcast today.
But yeah, it's such a, I feel it's also one of those things that you wouldn't know until it happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I think it's hard though, isn't it? Like, I think the beauty for me that the collateral damage was minimal, like in the sense that it was actually my family that took the biggest hit because they were the only people that knew, but no one else, like, I didn't have anyone else that had to find out or had to deal with me.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
In a way, COVID kind of helped because you got to do it the way you wanted to not tell anyone.
Yeah, I did. I kind of hid away.
Yeah,
whereas because I'm in lockdown, guys.
Exactly, because no one was going to be like, oh, where's Valentina? Because no one was seeing each other.
Yeah, it really helped. Yeah. It really helped me, like, what's the word? Yeah, hide away. I think those are the big ones for me. And I think the thing is with my situation is very different to everyone else's. For example, like people, I was single, and the only person I have to care about is myself, really.
But and Pablo, the dog.
Of course, like, my number one, he is my boyfriend. Love you, Pablo, forever. But yeah, other people, for example, might be single parents, or like live away from family and friends. I was obviously living at home at the time. So I think when you're single in those situations, that's when it starts to get really lonely, really isolating, because you are away from people and you've got to do everything. Imagine being a single mother or father and you're looking after kids, and that's like, do you understand that? You've got all that pressure, and then you actually a cancer diagnosed where you're actually unwell, can't look after yourself.
Well, and then also one source of income, just there's a lot of added stress. So, you know, if you're single, you're so brave. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, honestly. But yeah, I'm single to this day, and
hit her up, guys. She's single and ready to mingle.
Not ready to mingle, really. Mm. Well, no, to be honest, I'm not ready to mingle, but at the same time, I'm just like, I honestly don't have the time at this point.
Yeah, honestly, with group work.
Please don't.
Let the men find you.
Yeah, let the men find me. I saw this thing on TikTok once, and it was like, when, you know, that thing where it's like, when you stop looking, they'll find you. And then there was this girl, like you know, looking around like that, like, waiting, but then obviously knowing, like, that the wait. So I explained that so badly, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, so now we have the interview with Lydia that we're going to play. We've been name-dropping it a bit. It is really good. I do recommend, you know, listening and getting emotional to it like Valentina did.
Oh, God. It was just... To be honest, though, it is really, really, really good. And I think if you don't get emotional, I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
I would be
shocked.
You're
cold and heartless.
Do you know what it is? It's just really... Like, everything she says is just helpful. Like, it's just...
It's going to make another mean joke that she touched the nerve of your singleness.
I'm joking. No, I think the best thing you can do is just listen to it, because it hopefully will help anyone out there who's going through like similar feelings, similar experiences, and needs to know that there's actually someone else who's gone through everything that you're going through, and this is how like she coped with it. And I think that's what's actually
And I think it's quite good. It's like perspective of the, you know, partner of the cancer patient, and also if you
I think
could
that's
look
really
at it,
like a nice
if,
unique way to look at it. Yeah.
So whether you are the partner or you yourself are the cancer patient, I feel like it's just such a good interview. And also I'm neither and I loved it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. So we're gonna put it on now and we hope you enjoy it.
So Max was diagnosed when he was 17, when he was 18, sorry, and I'd just turned 17. I was doing my A-levels at the time. And then initially we thought it would just be an operation. So we had the operation and then ended up being chemo and another major operation at the end. So it was longer than we initially thought. But I think because I was so young, it was almost naivety at the start. Because I was lucky at that time that I hadn't really been close to anyone that had been ill. So it was almost like it was scary, but I was at the same time, like, I never thought to myself, oh my God, what if he dies? Do you know what I mean? It was all kind of like, well, we'll just get through it together. And it was never a question of whether I was going to be there or not. I was always going to be there. It's just a journey and like a stage in the relationship that we were just going to have to get through. So he started his treatment, and there was only about 2 weeks after we found out that he would have to have his treatment till it started. So it was all quite a fast turnaround. So I get time to process it. And I think I kind of just thought, was waiting for it to start. And then the day that it started, I just remember he was in the hospital and all of his family were there and I was there. And I hadn't really let out a lot of emotion about it because I was kind of not, I don't know, because he was so strong and he was so amazing, we kind of didn't know what to expect. So we talked about it, but we didn't let ourselves get too scared, if you know what I mean. I didn't. And then when it kind of started, I was like, oh my God, this is real. And I just remember having a meltdown in the hospital. But I felt so guilty at the start, being upset, because I didn't want him to feel like he'd upset me. Do you know what I mean? Because of what he was going through, out of our control. But I learned the hard way to accept that it's okay to be upset and it's okay to accept help, because I'm not very good at showing my emotions anyway. So I kind of just put up this wall like, oh, it's okay. But really inside I was like, no, it's not. Like, you just don't want to see someone that you love go through something like that.
Do you know what as well, Lydia? That's so interesting because I felt the exact same way, and so did the another girl who came on here. I don't know if you know Patsy, but she said the thing. She said, you know, everyone, she kind of bottles up her feelings, and in the long term, that's actually not as helpful as you'd actually think.
Well, it's like the little things, like when he was at home, and if I would feel myself getting upset, I would almost just say like, okay, I'm just going to make a cup of tea. Then I'd go downstairs and I'd just cry to his mum, because I didn't want him to see me upset. And then eventually I learned that actually he probably liked supporting me like I liked supporting him. He didn't want to just feel like I was just hiding my emotions all the time. And it bring us closer, definitely, when we had that time to just heal together. Do you know what I mean?
I was going to ask how it impacted your relationship, like, for the better or the worse. So would you say it brought you guys closer together then?
Yeah, it's definitely brought us closer together. I mean, we were just so young to go through something so intense. But we really, because we were so young, we were used to going out with our friends and drinking. And obviously, we didn't want them to pick up any viruses or anything. So I didn't really go out with my friends. I was going to school and stuff. But we just kind of found ways of spending time together that wasn't normal. So we just like go for walks. We went to the Lake District for a couple nights, which was really nice, just, you know, to keep us close together and just talk about the future and think ahead, not just trying to escape what was happening really whenever we could. So it definitely brought us closer and brought us stronger. But it wasn't easy. I'm not saying it was easy, because such like a massive thing for him to be going through. You know, there was times where he would get angry or I would get angry, but you know, it's not anger directed towards you, it's just the situation that comes out when you're the closest one to them. So we actually ended up having a bit of a break last year, just because I think we went through so much so young, and then the year after my dad got ill, and obviously Max was like my rock through that, And I think we kind of lost sight of what was important, which was each other. We kind of thought, are we just together because we've been through so much? And we lost it a little bit.
I'm gonna make me cry, Lydia. I'm not even No, seriously, it's just the way that you're talking. It's like, oh, it's just so nice, like the way, and you know what it is as well, like I think it's making me think like about my sister and her relationship. I can't even really get emotional.
Valentina, because I was looking at your face and I was gonna message you after and be like, are you okay?
Honestly, Lydia,
you speak so honestly as well about it, and it's just so lovely.
So we definitely needed that, I think, to realize that actually, no, we are what we like. He is what I want, and I'm what he wants, and we needed that just to find ourselves again. I think we became very emotionally dependent on each other.
Would you say that you guys went through something that probably happens to people when they're a lot older? So you've got that like level of, I don't know, experience that a lot of people our age just don't have.
And I definitely feel like now we could just tackle anything that came towards us. We've just had that experience together.
You're going to make Valentina sob at this point.
All right. Honestly, I have to get it together, honestly. No, but I think, you know what it is? It's because it's kind of given me a little bit more insight, because like I said, I was single during my experience, but and my sister wasn't. And obviously, like, because she was like the closest person to me, it was almost like she was going through everything I was going through. And it was, she had a boyfriend. And so it was kind of the same thing that you were talking about with Max, where she had, she started her relationship right in like the beginning of the pandemic, and you know, she, like, everything she had to do was almost like a big, like, kind of tap, you know, everything she had to do, she was like a fight almost. And it kind of makes, kind of, I can understand how it can make you lose sight of actually the fact that you're in this like amazing relationship and stuff like that, and the fact that you were able to actually bring that back and, you know, remember that's why you're actually together in the first place before all this like bad stuff happened, is like a really good like a mechanism, a coping mechanism, I think.
And I think because Max almost made because we thought if we don't laugh we'll cry, so at some moments we just caught ourselves. I remember once in hospital after his last operation, I lived with him in hospital for a week, and he, if it was after about 5 days, he thought, I'll try and walk down the corridor, and I was like, are you sure? And he was like, I can do it. We got to the end of the corridor and he just threw up all our hands, and we just thought, if we don't laugh now we'll so we just started laughing. Now we like remember that, and I think if he really helped me in that way, just kind of see light in such a horrible situation. So yeah, he was amazing like that.
Yeah, and it like teaches you both things as well, like you probably didn't even know that like, you were even capable of, as cliche as it sounds, but these type of things in life do bring that out of you, like, you know, how you deal with things, and you are now equipped for like any, and it's interesting because it's not just Max, it's also you, like, who's also equipped because you've been so close to someone who's experienced it. But yeah, so I think, to be honest with you, you literally just covered everything, and you brought me to tears, so that was
really sorry.
It was just the way you I think it's just inspiring, to be honest, and really helpful for other people to see that, because like I said, for example, if Claudia, my sister, had known like this was out there, and like someone else was like going through these experiences and these emotions, probably would have been reassured that like it was going to get difficult. And like, even, you know, it was also interesting how you said, like, because he was obviously really vulnerable to viruses, that you had to like, you know, find new ways of doing things just for you too. And that's so interesting, because that was not even when COVID was happening. Yeah, and like,
you must be really ready for the pandemic lifestyle.
Well, yeah, exactly. We had, I think it was like a year before the pandemic hit. But yeah, it was, and just couldn't really go out for dinner, so it was, oh, we'll go for a walk instead of just have that time.
And you've got to find, and it's good because it's like showing that you can, you've got to adapt and find new ways like to do things, like your new normal in a way. But still, I think it's important, like what you do, spend quality time together. And I think, I don't know how Max dealt with everything, but like the way I dealt with everything, I just didn't tell anyone. I don't know if that was a really good or bad idea at the time. So I kind of was in my own bubble with my family, but I don't know if that was like the same for you or anything, or like you did talk to like friends and stuff and have other people to have an outlet with.
I mean, we were quite similar, to be honest, to you. I think, well, close family and friends knew. I was obviously in sixth form at the time, and I tried really hard not to tell anyone, but my best friend, she just knew. She was like, what's wrong? And I just started crying. And then I told my teachers in the end, because I was just struggling with work, and they were really helpful, obviously, like, oh, well, don't worry about giving your essay in today, do it tomorrow or whatever. So, and that was a big thing for me, was accepting help from people, because I just kind of wanted to be able to do everything as normal, but also be there to support him all the time. But I learned that I had to sacrifice some things. For him. So if it was going to be, you know, just something tiny, like just handing in my essay 3 days later, I wouldn't have liked doing it, but it really helped. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, so not a lot of people knew, just close friends and family. So, yeah, but that was okay, because I have quite a close-knit family and friendship group anyway, so I wouldn't have and obviously it was Max's decision, but I wouldn't have liked everyone knowing at the time anyway.
No, it's completely understandable. Like, and I think that's what makes it harder though sometimes, is the fact when you don't want to tell people about it, it kind of impacts other relationships, because even it got to the point where, because of COVID and everything, I didn't want to tell anyone. And then basically what happened was, I said to my sister, don't, you obviously can tell your boyfriend stuff, but then her boyfriend couldn't tell anyone. And then he's asking like, what are you doing this weekend? And he couldn't say, I can't meet you because of COVID. Because everyone would be like, well, just, it's not that bad, like it's fine. And know that I was like down the line really vulnerable. So it can make things more difficult, I think, but it's making, again, like those, like, what's the word? Adaptation. I can't even speak. I'm honestly overwhelmed with the amount of uni work right now. All the words are just coming to one. But yeah, I think, yeah, good coping mechanisms again. And so last thing I think is, what would your ways, like, what would your advice be to someone, like, you know, the most simple like advice you could give to someone who's probably going through something very similar? Like, what would your key advice be? Just to round up,
I would say accept help from other people. Don't just try and take everything on yourself, because at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not superhuman. But also accept that the person that isn't well is going to have times where they don't want to see you, or they just want to be by themselves, or they might get a bit angry and not take it. I mean, I just tried to not take it personal, if you know what I mean, because I was like, no, he doesn't want to see me, it's just, you know, he just needs to rest, and that's okay. And I think as well, when we look back on photos, you know, like when he lost his hair and stuff like that, we look back and just think how far we've come, not how sad it was. And I think that's really important.
Like, have a positive outlook on everything, definitely.
And just keep talking about the future, and where, like, we always spoke about how we want to live in like Australia when we're older. We kept thinking about living on the beach and children and everything, just to keep it so you've got something to look forward to and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Like, have goals kind of thing, like when it's over.
And it's really hard at the time, I think, to imagine it's ever going, like, you just can't see past it sometimes, but it definitely helps just talking about it whenever you can.
That's, to be honest with you, sound incredibly strong, because these are things, and it sounds like you've, like I said, you've actually lived through this experience, because those are the kind of things I take from it as well. Like, think about the positive, don't focus on it. And like, when you do think of things afterwards, when you're going through something like that, it kind of motivates you. And it kind of becomes a bit more like pragmatic, like, oh, I've got this like chemo to do and whatever treatment, but then I'm doing this afterwards. And guide you through it. 100%
But definitely Max supported me like massively, because he was so strong and amazing. It made me so strong. Do you know what I mean?
You like bouncing off each other.
But it's okay not to be strong all the time as well, I think. You've got to remember that.
100%. I couldn't have literally said it better myself.
Yeah, so thank you so much for coming to talk to us.
Oh, yeah, thank you for having me.
Amazing. I kind of feel better after my cry. I'm like,
it always helps to have a cry.
I got some stressful emotions out there. but yeah, no, really, really good. And thank you for coming on.
Yeah, so that was actually amazing.
Very, very inspiring, and everyone got to listen to you cry. So
I actually just listened to that back and wanted to. I can't say it on here, but it doesn't. It rhymes with umails my mouth. It was so bad. It was so bad.
That was really funny, though.
I actually can't even believe I did it, and it's actually even worse when you actually listen to the fact that you cried back.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever listened to myself crying.
There was one bit we actually had to edit out where...
Well, I wanted to keep it, but...
Yeah, I said absolutely no way, where my voice gets so high-pitched, it just goes like... I can't even repeat it, but because there would be no point in editing it out, but it is really not good.
No, yeah, it's funny. I'm going to listen to it privately.
It's not a vibe. But yeah, massive, massive thank you to Lydia for taking the time out of your day to actually do that with us. Because it was a hope to God that it is beneficial to people, and I think it will be, because it was so real, and everything she said was just, you could tell she was almost like reliving it when she was talking about it. So I think it would be really useful for anyone out there who's struggling, and again, big thank you. And that is actually what we're going to conclude our whole podcast on today. So it's been absolutely joyous, as always, to
speak very much
and talk about these things.
In.
Yeah, and we hope that you have enjoyed and that it's helped in any way. And as always, if in doubt, get it checked out.
Exactly.